I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today we're talking about friendships and, well, female friendships. We're talking about all kinds of friendships, but female friendships. We have lots of men listening today who tune in regularly, and I'm asking you not to tune out because there's some in this conversation that is for you too. Men need friendships, and I think your friendships look different than ours for obvious reasons, but we need each other. There's something in this conversation for everybody today. My friend Andy Andrew wrote a book, and she is geared towards women, but again, there's enough here for all of us. We are wired for connection. We feel things deeply. We self-protect when it's wise and when it's not. We have much to learn. Andy's new book is titled Friendship. It's complicated. Avoid the drama, create authentic connection, and fulfill your purpose together. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. It's an honest, raw book, very equipping. It'll help you heal if you've had some past betrayal, if you struggle with trusting people. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from Andy. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, we first of all want to just say thank you. Welcome. Our audience is growing by leaps and bounds all over the world, and we're so grateful. If you've not ever received a welcome packet from us, we would love to get you one. Just some real fun swag in there and some information on our programming and a heart behind the mission. You can request a new welcome packet at our website at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Andy Andrew is an author, founding pastor of Liberty Church. It's a multi-site church that she pioneered with her husband, Paul, in 2010. In 2015, she launched She Is Free. It's a movement that exists to engage and equip women to encounter God and expand the kingdom. Currently, Andy's life is focused on raising four kids in Brooklyn, writing books, creating her TV show and podcast, Coffee with Andy, and building Liberty Church. She also travels extensively to invest in churches around the world, and she's my friend. Andy, welcome to the show.
Susie, I love you so much. Thank you for having me back on.
Absolutely. Looking forward to this conversation. And before we dig into the content of your book, let's talk scripture. What has the Lord just been impressing upon your heart these days?
Yeah, I, at the moment, cannot get out of the book of Nehemiah, and in particular, Nehemiah chapters 1-3. And I feel like at the moment, it's in essence a prophetic word for the church. I mean, we've been pastoring here in New York, so it's been a difficult couple of years in various ways, but as I read Nehemiah, I have been inspired once again of the power and the potential that we have right now to rebuild what's been broken around us, whether that's the church or relationships. And for me, as I read Nehemiah chapter one, I was taken aback by how he found out how his people were that were in exile in Jerusalem. And when he heard the news, he wept and he mourned and he fasted and he prayed. And then he went to the king. I mean, I know he was the cupbearer to the king. But when he went to the king and asked for a favor to go back and rebuild, the king gave it to him and even granted him safe passage. But it's Nehemiah 3 that's kind of one of those passages of scripture that often we skip over because there's a whole bunch of names in it. Have you ever been guilty of that? Where it's all
of course.
all the names. And I'm like, oh, I can't pronounce all of these. But there was this, over these last few months, I keep going back to Nehemiah. And every time I read Nehemiah chapter 3, I just want to weep because it's this beautiful picture of the body of Christ, arm in arm next to each other, rebuilding what's been broken around us. And I think what stood out to me was not necessarily all of the names, but it was that pinned in between. If you go through Nehemiah chapter 3, I just underlined over and over and over again. It said, and next to them, and beside them, and after them, and next to them. And it was all of these people who I know were brokenhearted, who were walking through grief and pain for what they had all just walked through. But after Nehemiah rallied the troops and said, this is a good work, and the people around him said, this is a good work, they started to rebuild together, and not without attack and not without the Sanballats and Tobias that made fun of them and told them, what are you doing? Or even people that folded their arms and refused to help. But I think for me, I've needed this encouragement as a pastor and leader walking through the last couple of years. And just as a follower of Jesus going, my goodness, there's so many things right now that we need hope to rebuild again. And so Nehemiah has deeply been speaking to me, and I can't get away from it. Yeah.
Just why I asked that question, Andy. That's so fantastic. We all needed to hear that today. Well, I'd love to get just first a 30,000-foot view of just how your friendships evolved over the years, maybe your approach to friendship in early years, and just what that part of the journey has been like. And just caveat, it takes so much courage for a woman to write a book about friendships because it's so laced with so much hardship and pain and betrayal and so many things. So way to jump into the deep end. I just really, my hat is off to you for that. So let's just start with an overview if we can.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. This has been, I've written a couple of books, but getting into this one was one of the most difficult to embark upon. So yeah, like wide view and the why did I even jump into this? I think for me, it was about 5 years ago where I walked through a really difficult time, actually, where the friendships around me, my close friends, were like burning to the ground. And I was like, I am an adult. Why is this happening? And then one of my closest friends of 20 plus years, who also allowed me to write some of our story in the book, her name is Tanya. I've known her longer than my husband. And we had what I would call this friendship breakup. There was a severing of ties in this moment where, honestly, I had some issues and she's like, I'm not going to let that happen anymore. And she kind of like put up a boundary with me. And that was a breaking point for me where I went, I need to get some healing in this area of my life. And I need to figure out how to do friendships better. And that was the moment where I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, hey, Andy, you are the common denominator in every relationship you're in. And that was this moment of radical ownership where, yes, I wanted to point the finger and blame everybody else while I was walking through this pain, but the one thing that I could change was myself. And so basically what I realized is that when I did an autopsy of my friendships, you know, you can look back from childhood to now. Obviously, they change and they grow and they move. And you have some friends that are in your life for a season or because you work at the same place, all those different things. But these lifelong friends that you want to build healthy relationships with that are, you know, for purpose in God together, I just realized I wasn't even doing that well. And so, I start this book off, like the overview, if you want, is chapter one is the woman wound. And then chapter 10, the final chapter, is called Becoming Spiritual Midwives, because the whole trajectory of our lives is to face ourselves with Jesus, to go back, to move forward, to walk in healing so that we can be somebody that births the dreams in other people that are like, in essence, I mean, I'm just connecting it now, the people in Nehemiah, where we can be arm in arm, side by side, moving the Great Commission forward together. But we can't do that unless we're always thinking about ourselves and we're in need of healing. We can't look up and see somebody else and believe in them. So really, that's like an overview. And my relationships really have gotten richer. But honestly, I've also walked through a lot of pain as I've grown. And so I just know that for us to fulfill the Great Commission, we need friends. If Jesus had his 3, his 12, and the 72 and the multitudes, even he had circles and understood that there was a need for people to walk in purpose with. So that's kind of the overview, if
appreciate
you will.
That. So well done. And, you know, we hear a lot about the father wound, but you wrote about the mother wound and how connected that is to how we show up in relationships. Say more about that.
Yeah, my mom and I have this beautiful restored relationship now, but it wasn't always the case. And as I, like I said, embarked upon this book, the way books come to me, interestingly enough, is I see the chapters and it's like I'm sitting with God. He gives me the chapters in order. And I knew that I needed to start with my relationship with my mom. And so the woman wound was something that really deeply affected me. I had done a lot of work with in counseling and all of those different things with the issues that I had with my father and that parenting. But I realized my relationship with my mother really did affect my relationships with other women. So talking about going back to move forward, I knew that I needed to go there and get healing. What's really beautiful, too, is my mom writes part of chapter one, which I love. And from a young age, I have these memories. I know now that my mom and dad were walking through such difficult things. And obviously now being a mother of 4 children, I have a lot of grace for my parents and what they were walking through. But, you know, when you're young, you have unmet needs. And so when I was a little girl, my mom would, in essence, use me as her, what I would call her emotional mother. There were a lot of things that she unloaded on me and spoke to me about that were honestly too heavy for me to fix or carry or even give her advice on. From a very young age up into my young adult years. And what I learned from that relationship with her was these unhealthy codependency cycles. And so fast forward into my adult relationships, and what do? I attract people who have unmet needs, who need me for something. I need to be needed. There's this weird emotional thing where I'm trying to carry their things for them. And that really just doesn't work in any sort of relationship, whether that's marriage or friendship or anything. And so what I realized is I needed to break the cycle of codependency, but that was the healing that I needed from the woman wound in my life. And basically that chapter is really about helping people to go to a place where and go, okay, God, where do I need healing that maybe I'm unaware of? And so that's my hope there, is to kind of open the door for like open heart surgery with the Holy Spirit, really.
I really love your approach, Andy, is not, you know, it's twofold. It's personal responsibility, but honesty about, you know, we are impacted by our parents of origin. We just are. So there's, mm-hmm. You were so careful to honor your mom, and she was so wonderful to honor you and say, you are just this hero of forgiveness and grace. And she went on to talk about how she was not the rock. She was not, you know, the, your mm-hmm. staying power, so to speak. She was leaning on you as a friend. And she said, man, mm-hmm. big mistake. But I love that you guys are connected and you love each other. This is such a beautiful picture of, okay, I can't deny that this affected me. And I have to look at how and why, because it impacts how I show up in relationships. But I'm not going to sit and blame my mom for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to learn what I can. And I just think that's such maturity, and we need to see more of that, to be, one, honest about how some of these, you know, familial things impacted us, and two, own it, forgive, love, and then keep moving forward in health. You know, I just want to say hats off to you for that.
Well, thank you. And I'm jumping out of my skin because that's my passion, is to help people not blame, like, yes, recognize and then own how they can heal now. It's like there comes that moment of maturity where I'm like, oh, I'm an adult now. And I can't blame my parents for how I'm acting now, because I actually have been, I'm like empowered to change, because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to recover all the losses in our life. And mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you. Good. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too. We're going to pause here. When we come back, you know, I want you to comment. I read an article by Francis Frangipane. He's a pastor. He's retired now. But I mean, nobody really shaped my thinking in Christ-likeness like Frangipane did in my early years as a believer. He's just a brilliant writer. Mm-hmm. But I remember him writing an article about how there tends to be two camps in church. And he said, I know this is oversimplifying, but there tends to be those who are continually, perpetually offended, and those who are continually, perpetually trying to field those offenses, trying to remain unoffendable, trying to take the higher road. I want to just explore that idea and what that means for us in the church today, because we are in a high amped up, high octane, highly offendable culture now. We got to do this different. I believe we can. Talking to Andy Andrew, her book, Friendship, It's Complicated. Avoid the drama, create authentic connection, and fulfill your purpose together. We'll be back in a minute. You're having a really great day. Susie Larson here, talking to my friend, author, pastor, leader, speaker, Andy Andrew. Her new book, Friendship, It's Complicated. Avoid the drama, create authentic connection, and fulfill your purpose together. And there's a purpose in God that we have that we cannot fulfill apart from community and oneness and deep abiding friendships. But they're messy, and it sometimes a lot of times feels easier to avoid them altogether. But we'll never fully fulfill the purpose of God without doing some of this work. And Andy, I wrote an article years ago by Francis Frangipane where he described two types of people in the church: those who are constantly offended and those who are always trying to field those offenses. And he made the point that it's not as cut dry as that sounds there, but those two tendencies definitely exist. And I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that has been on steroids, if you will, or yeah. I've noticed it as a leader in the church over the last couple of years. I mean, yes, so the 11 years we've been leading here in New York, that's definitely a thing. And I feel like one of the greatest things I feel like we're trying to shepherd people in is going back to the word. Like, guys, the word is very clear on this stuff. I mean, I even think about Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, where it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And I think when it does come to relationships, that's one of the biggest things that I have noticed. I agree that's oversimplified, but yet in a way, there are those two camps that it feels like. It's like we're looking for a fence, looking at what we can tear down, or we're looking how to keep our heart tender. And I think what I've realized too is, you know how the end of, the Sermon on the Mount, what's the illustration Jesus uses? That if we obey the words in the Sermon on the Mount, which if we go and read that, that is one of the most difficult most difficult way to live, but yet it is the way of Jesus. And he says, if you do this, it will be like you're building your house upon a rock. And I think what I have realized over the last couple of years when it comes to offense and all of those sorts of things is that I've noticed in my own heart, in my own life, I'll speak for myself, the areas of my life where I'm standing on the rock of Jesus, his word, his truth, and where I've been standing on the sand. And I think the whole church, there's like this thing that's happening right now, this shaking, this awakening, this pruning, what is it? John 15, not John 15. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Why am I blinking mm-hmm. on which 15 mm-hmm. it is? I'm like, it's a 15, the vine and the
John 15, the vine. Yes,
it
yes.
is John. Mm-hmm. Okay. I did mm-hmm. get that right. But I think that's where we're at right now. There's a great pruning mm-hmm. and cutting off happening, and offense just, it will keep our hearts hard and bitter, and it will cut us off. And it's breaking my heart. So I don't know if I really even said much that's helpful, but in a way, no. I think, yeah, I just, mm-hmm. we have to do the work. This is what's difficult of keeping our heart tender and tend the soil of our hearts. And it takes,
that's so true.
It's daily. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember many years ago, I want to say, how many years ago did my dad die? About a decade ago. It was around the time he was battling cancer. And there was a gal, a listener who, I have amazing, amazing listeners. But this particular one, she actually, in her email address, was part of a Christian university, a local Christian university. So that was a surprise to me. But she was offended by something I said and took it out of context. And I said, and she emailed me and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. No, I didn't mean that. This is the full context of the whole conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe you missed it. And then she wrote back another little snarky thing. And then a couple days later, now I heard today you said that, you know, and it was just, she was picking me apart left and right. And to the point where I could not win. All the while I'm grieving my dad dying. And it would be a year later, she wrote back and said, I just loved having the power. And I thought, well, did that serve you well? Because that is so painful. But I think there is something about that, that people want the power. Because, you know, if you throw out an offense, I'm offended, but especially if you've got pastors and pastors' wives and leaders where you guys have to, seems like, bend over backwards to be the unoffendable ones to navigate. And so you're absorbing so much more maybe than the average person would probably be like, I'm done with this, but you guys keep on keeping on. I say all that to say there is something demonic about, because it's like, I'm going to be offendable and I'm just going to keep being offendable and I'm going to see how you guys jump through hoops because you don't want me to be offended. There is a twisted power in that that's just not okay. And the power that Christ wants is resurrection power that transforms
yes.
us from the inside out. These are two very different things, but it grieves my spirit because it's at play even more now in not only just in Christianity, but in the world at large. People want the power and they like what it does to make someone squirm, but God misses nothing, and this is just not okay.
Yeah, I think that that's something that I'm realizing too, is there's, it's, that's a boundaries issue. Like there's like this negative control that we want to have. We want to be able to control what people think, what they feel about us, about the world. And that's an interesting thing, that it's like, agree with me. Otherwise, I'm going to try to control what you think or control what you can have. And even I'm reading this book right now, just so you know, it's not a Christian book, but it's called Facing Codependency, or Facing Codependence. And reading that about how this negative control that takes place in us when we can't control our circumstances, we try to control other people, we try to control what they think about us or what they think. And I think that's part of the problem right now is I don't know how much people are like genuinely in the Word on a daily basis. Cause like even just some of the questions that I'll ask is, I was having a discipleship conversation with someone today and I was like, hey, with the people in your world, when they start to give opinions or gossip or bring stuff up, go, hey, is that biblical? What have you been hearing from God on that? Is that, you know what I mean? So like asking those questions. You don't always have to have an answer. Ask more questions to dig down to see, are people doing the work in their own life? Are they reading the Word? Are they walking in healing? Are they taking ownership? Because then you also know, like, I'm not going to engage in this conversation anymore.
So good.
You know what I mean?
So good. I think it's Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man is a snare, but the fear of God is safety and freedom. You know, and the fear of God, I fear God. I'm going to do what he says because I know what he's going to do what he says. Mm. You do what you're going to do, but I'm submitting myself to God and he becomes my defender. To me, that's so foundational to even profound relationships, because if we need something more from the friend than we have to offer to them because we need their approval or whatever, we're already setting the thing up to fail. But I just have this vision, Andy, to see us walk in a new winsome freedom in our comfort in our own skin, where I'm like, I'm going to take risks with you. You have the power to hurt me, but you don't have the power to diminish my value. So I can love you. I can be me. You can be you. What a difference that might make if we weren't so enmeshed and really so codependent on each other's approval, you know?
Yes, that's so powerful. And I'm even just personally walking through something like that right now where I'm having to go, wow, your disagreement with me and even your anger with me does not diminish my value. I mean, I am having to do that work right now, because what I realize, even again in my own issues and my own codependence, is I allow people to tell me what to think and feel. And I'm like, whoa, time out. God, what do you think? What do you feel about me? What do you say about me? And realizing like that is this beautiful thing that each of us can do, so we can show up to the table in any relationship, walking and healing, knowing who we are and not being enmeshed. Yes, with other people's pain or feelings, I can have empathy for you, but it doesn't mean, does that make sense? And I'm I'm figuring that all out. Here we go.
And it's boot camp for the soul right now, because, you know, in the days of when the love grows cold, you know, hearts get hard. And so it is our personal responsibility to be stewarding our perspective. So maybe let's talk on the other side of the break, guarding our hearts, because I think sometimes we think my goal for guarding my heart is to guard against getting hurt. But guarding our hearts is guarding from the toxic influences that impact how we love. And as we go to break here, I've quoted Jeff Mannion 1,000 times, but you'll love it in the context of this conversation, Andy. But he says, we've tried to become experts at not getting hurt, but we need to become experts at learning to heal. And I just think that is so powerful. So I would love your take. In fact, you wrote quite a bit about it in your book, Guard Your Heart. What does that mean? What doesn't that mean? Talking to Andy Andrew, her book, Friendship, It's Complicated. Avoid the drama, create authentic connection, and fulfill your purpose together. More with Andy in a moment. Oh, and I forgot to say, we've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Excuse my voice. It's coming back slow but sure. We'll be back in a minute. Having a really great day. Susie Larson here talking to Andy Andrews. She's got a brand new book out, Friendship, It's Complicated. Avoid the drama, create authentic connection, and fulfill your purpose together. We got a handful of copies to give away today. Just a raw, honest, equipping book on friendships. And who doesn't need that? You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And before the break, Andy, we were talking a little bit about guarding our hearts. And I think sometimes we have this mindset, you know, my responsibility is to guard my heart so I don't get hurt. But that's not the biblical perspective on guarding hearts. So say more if you would.
Yeah, I think what we have to understand is that guarding our hearts is not about self-preservation. And I mean, there is soul care, mental health, boundaries, all of those things are important. But I wrote this in the book. I said, self-preservation is willfully choosing the pain of isolation over the potential of messy, godly connection. And what I've had to learn is, you know, out of Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I had to like seek God and go, okay, but what does that mean? If you're asking us to do this above all else, how do we actually do that? And in this one moment, I remember where I was whining and complaining and not, you know, stewarding my heart well, I felt the Lord bring Psalm 19:14 to remembrance to me. And it's these words: it's may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I think for me, what I realized is the Lord was speaking to me saying, hey, if you actually activate this scripture in your life, Psalm 19:14, it is a very practical way to guard your heart so that you don't self-preserve and put up walls and try to self-protect, but you walk with a healed heart so you can step into things, even though you'll get hurt again, even though trust will be broken again, you know who you are. And so really quickly, like with that scripture, Psalm 19:14, it's just paying attention to the meditation of your heart. Maybe for some of you that are even listening right now, you're driving home and you're going, oh my gosh, what are the meditations of my heart? We've got to think through what are those things that we repeat and dwell on positively and negatively, because you know what I mean? Because what we repeat and dwell on in our mind and in our heart, those eventually become the words of out of our mouth. And so if you're not aware of what you're meditating on, just pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth, because that will be literally the fruit that's coming out of your heart. And what we've got to understand is that we're created in the very image of God, and God, when God speaks, God creates. And so therefore, when we speak, we create atmospheres around us, and that will help us to understand, oh my gosh, if there's like negativity and fear and all of these things coming out of our mouths, then that shows us what the meditation of our heart is. And that last part of the scripture is so beautiful too, where it just talks about how, you know, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And what pleases God but our faith in him? And for me, that just comes down to the simple trust in him. When we trust him and we don't rely on our own understanding, what we meditate on changes. Because when I'm trying to fix everything, that's control issues. And so if I'm meditating on how to control everything around me, I'm not trusting God. But when I start to trust him, the meditation of my heart changes, the words of my mouth change, the atmospheres I create around me change. And so we stop self-preserving when we're paying attention to those things and we walk in healing. And I love that. Who was the one that gave the quote, experts at learning to heal? I don't remember who said quote
Jeff Mannion, he said, we tried to become experts at not getting hurt, but we need to become experts at learning to heal. I just think it's powerful.
Yeah. And don't you think, though, that the healthier we become in our relationship with Jesus, the freer and more healthy we become in relationships with one another. So it's just the two go hand in hand. Yeah.
So true. So true. As much as you're comfortable, can you share about a time in a friendship, and you can make it as generic as possible, but when you knew you'd exhausted everything, it was time to cut losses? Because I think there's times, because we have a noble sense of hanging in there, which is a good thing, because sometimes we do give up too quickly. But there are times where, you know, I mean, I don't know, some old pastor, a mentor pastor friend said, when the horse is dead, it's time to dismount. Sometimes it's time to dismount. But how can you think of a time when you felt like, okay, God has given me actual permission, this is toxic, and I need to walk away, as much as you're able to share?
Yeah, I think what's difficult is there's been a few occasions for this, and a lot of times it ends up being like a similar cycle. And I think for me, what that is, you know, you can tell when something has gone weird in a relationship, and you probably need to have a conversation. Like, you see it, you know it, whether that's behavioral changes or the way you're speaking to each other or not speaking to each other. So I just live by, as much as it's up to us, make peace with all men. And so if you can have a conversation, a face-to-face conversation, not by a text, if you're able to be in person with each other, have a conversation. And when you show up at that conversation, be willing like to speak to each other with truth and love. And I think that I have had a few of those, and even recently, that have been extremely difficult, where I realized in the relationship there had been gossip or slander. And I said, hey, you know what? I just don't feel safe anymore in this level of relationship. I love you and I honor you, but this does change the game for our relationship right now. And that has been very difficult. And not everybody's going to want to have a conversation like that. So what I would say is, what are some of the things that you can do if you're in a relationship? Is it time to dismount? If you can have a conversation with the person to tie things up or heal and forgive and make amends if you need to do that. If you can't, if there's no reciprocity, that's one of the biggest things that I've learned. If it's not reciprocal, if the person is ghosting you, not responding, that's sometimes some of the hardest things in relationship where there's this open loop that doesn't heal. But you might have to just release them to walk in forgiveness on your end and go, God, if there's an opportunity in the future, I would love to have a conversation with them. But you have to settle in your heart that, wow, things have changed. The game has changed. And then I would say, too, one thing that I have had to get really good at is walking through the grieving process properly, because otherwise that grief remains in our body. And we give those people and those conversations or those unhealed relationships or those relationships that just disappeared, we give them so much authority and they take up our mind and our heart space. So we have to properly walk through the grieving process, properly forgive and let people go. But if it's just toxic and there is, and you know that it is, you just got to call it what it is. You got to define the relationship and you got to make a shift and a change, even though it is honestly one of the most difficult things you'll have to do. And I'm just saying that from experience, it's been some of the most painful things that I've walked through. So I don't know if that helps. Do you have any other questions around that?
No. I think that there those times too, it's like you really do have to entrust your reputation to the Lord, because I think sometimes you stay in a toxic relationship because you're playing whack-a-mole with others' opinions. And if I do the hard thing and draw a hard line, it's going to unleash a flurry of gossip, but you can't control what people are going to say or do.
No.
And surprisingly, as painful as a character assassination is, you'll get through it. And God will, you know, if you trust him and lean in, I mean, you can know his love in a deep, deep way where, you know, the gap widens between how man affects you and how God affects you. And I just think, you know, some of those things that I've walked through, excruciating, but I would not be the person I am today without them. You know, let's talk about a regret when maybe you end a relationship too soon. I mean, I've done that too in years past, especially when you're young and immature or whatever, and it gets hard and it hurts and it's just like rip the Band-Aid off. And looking back, you're like, you know, there was something that I could have, I could have resolved here that could have could keep this friendship intact. Sometimes God will bring you full circle and give you a chance to rebuild again anyway. But how do you deal with the regrets of going, okay, I blew that one. I made a mistake. And what do you say?
Oh, man, I would just say to that, because I've been there multiple times, I would say don't stay in regret too long. Change your regret to repentance and just get to a place where you can go, oh, God, I repent. Like, I pulled the trigger too quickly. It was like, shoot, ready, aim, and I just missed the order of that. So, God, I repent before you. And then I often will just ask God, like, or even just wise counsel around me and go, do you think I need to make amends here? Would it be wise to step in and ask for forgiveness, whether it was 10 years ago or yesterday? Am I the person that has the, you know, I guess it's in essence a place in the relationship to offer that, even if it's not given back? But if you do heal, like, oh, I would like to apologize for that, even if they don't respond and it's healthy to do so and it won't bring pain to them, then I would say do that. But I would say don't stay in regret for too long, because, gosh, we all make mistakes. And I think if we stay there too long, it's like we whip ourselves and feel bad instead of moving forward and creating new grooves in our brain and new experiences with other people that can bring healing and show us that we're not always a failure. So we have to remember that.
Dear Scott, text in, Andy, what happens when the person you're having difficulty with isn't a friend, but a brother or sister in your family? Does never return text wishing him happy birthday. I'll travel hundreds of miles to see our mother, invite him to come, and he won't even show his face. And he's only 4 miles from our mom's home. What to do? That is super painful. What do you say?
Yeah. Again, something that I won't speak too deeply on that, but definitely we've had to navigate things like that before. I think what you have to do is know what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. So I just love the fact that you are reaching out and inviting and constantly putting it out there. Once again, that's kind of like, as much as it's up to you, make peace with all men. But if there comes a point where you realize, you know what, they're not reciprocating, they're not responding, maybe just take a moment, give it a breath, like ask always go to God first and go, God, do you want me to keep reaching out? Because you also just never know what seeds you're sowing in the heart of that sibling that may come to fruition. And they go, you know what? It's as much as you were driving me crazy because you wouldn't stop texting me. And I know I wasn't showing up. It's possible that maybe one day they will, but also be careful that you're not taking the onus and responsibility for their actions onto yourself. Know that there's a line there where you begin and where they begin and where you end. And so I would just say, get before God, but that is painful. And you may have to walk through a grieving process again. There's something in my world that was very close to a similar situation like that. And honestly, there's a lot of tears shed over it, but there's always hope. I never let go of hope. You never know. Things could turn around. But at the same time, you've got to do things that protect your mental, emotional, and spiritual health as well in that.
So good. This one is so representative of so, so many texts and emails I've received. What about a daughter, stepmother, father relationship? She's just shut us down. We have no idea what the problem is. And Andy, this is happening in epidemic proportions with young, like millennials and a little bit younger, cutting off parents. Now, I know there are times when there's a very toxic situation, but I have met countless parents who are weeping, godly, humble people going, I don't know what happened. They just cut us off. And that is just such a painful proposition, and you can only do so much. But any advice for this dear one?
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say I'm so sorry that you're walking through that. I did the same thing to my mother. Because of pain from our past, and I cut her off for almost 7 years. And so I just want to say I'm so sorry that you're walking through that. I would say as a mother, now that I am a mother, and even imagining that scenario breaks my heart, just the thought of it. So from the standpoint as a mother or a father, I would say that one thing, there's two things that I think are very powerful that you could do, and then you have to wait, and that's the hardest part. Number one is, I know you know this, but I think that it was my mom's prayers that actually brought me back. I kid you not, that woman cried out for me. She was on her knees, and it makes me emotional now knowing she knew that there was pain that she had caused, and some of it she didn't even know what it was because I wouldn't tell her and I cut her off. But I know that her prayers were so powerful, and they are moving mountains. So just remember that. Number two would be if in whatever way that you feel is healthy, whether that is a text message or a letter or an email, in a loving way, just say, I just want you to know I love you and I'm here whenever you're ready. I would love to talk. If I've hurt you in any way, I would love to reconcile that and walk that through with you. I'm here. And so that's what I would say, because it's so difficult, but you can't control their actions. And I hate that, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Very good. Appreciate that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to ask you questions about just from a pastoral perspective, Andy. We're friends with lots of pastors. We travel the country for events, and I've heard pastors say this: nothing has been harder than these last 2 years because there's so much divisiveness in the body of Christ. So how do you, especially as a woman, navigate? People leave for all kinds of reasons. People, think you're valid if you're pro this or pro that or anti this or anti that. How in the world are you keeping your heart a tender place, but being tough enough to go, I got to forge ahead in a day when people on a whim will just leave the church and get mad about something? How are you doing that? I want to know what that's like. I'd love our listeners to have a perspective from a pastor who's trying to do this every day and do it right. And we'll talk more about friendship. It's complicated. That's Andy's book when we return. I'm going to remember, we're not in this alone. Jesus is an ever-present help in times of trouble. His power is mightily at work in and through us. And that tender, humble, pure heart is the place where we connect with him. We see him. He works mightily through it. And so the stewardship of our perspective of what's happening in the news, what's happening in relationships, really is such a critical thing. I'm talking to my friend Andy Andrews. She's a pastor, an author, leader, speaker. Her book, her new one, Friendship, It's Complicated. Avoid the drama. Create authentic connection and fulfill your purpose together. And the listener that you spoke to before the break, who's been cut off by their daughter, she just wanted me to especially thank you, Andy, for that advice and that feedback. So I appreciate that so much.
Aww,
but before the break, you know, I was saying how, you know, really a pastor's perspective, because I've heard, Kevin, I've traveled a lot, pastors behind the scenes saying this has been the hardest 20 months of our ministry ever, because people are so sure they're right about something, and they're so divided, and they're validating the pastor if you land here or land here, if you're talking about this or not talking about this. And they're like, it's impossible to please people. So we have to focus on pleasing God. But then you add that female factor in there, where as women, we feel things deeply. We're emotional. We're wired for connection. And as a, you know, as a co-pastor, Andy, you're cultivating female relationships at church. And then just like that, someone can be gone. So that's a mouthful, but talk to me about how you're navigating that.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for asking this question. First of all, can you write a book called Stewardship of Perspective, though? I think you
bet.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I would say these last 2 years, almost 2 years now, have been the hardest leadership years of my life, of our lives. And I think you nailed it. I don't need to intro anything else that you said, but yes, the unique perspective as a female walking alongside her husband, trying to lead in the city. And I deeply feel everything. I'm deeply connected. All of those things are very, very true. And I have to say, I just want to be vulnerable and share. Is that okay? I want to share a little bit of my story of how I've processed it. So at first it was like, you know, it was the first wave, like thinking that of people leaving the city just because of COVID. But then for us, it was the wave of people leaving church because we didn't handle things, whether that was politically, racially, you know, whatever, you name it. We didn't handle it properly on their terms. And so we had so many people that left. And I think if I'm honest, I was in shock, and I don't think I realized how many arrows I took until I crashed at the beginning of this year and said to my husband, I'm in a really dark place. I think the cumulative effect of people that I thought would be with us forever, people that I thought we were a lot closer to, or people that I was like, I thought they were Christians. You know what I mean? The pain that just got so real that I got to a place where I just was like, I don't even want to do this anymore. I don't want to. And it was very dark. And I won't share some of those things. Maybe I'll feel released to do that in the future, but just not at this stage. And I knew that I needed healing and help. And so that was a moment where my husband said to me, he said, I want you to call Irene Rollins, who's one of my closest friends. And she says this one line. She says, be authentic with the many, but vulnerable with the few. And I guess So like, show up as your true self wherever you go, but honestly, don't share everything with everyone. It's not their business and they can't help you. And don't let people comment on it on social media, because that's not helpful either. But I ended up sharing with her where I was at, and she, you know, there was cause for concern. And she just said, Andy, I just want you to know you're going to be okay. We're going to get through this, but we need a game plan. Number one, I want you to go into this intensive counseling. And I went to this place for 2 weeks called Crossroads Counseling in Buena Vista, Colorado, and it rocked my world to the core. I have never had an intensive like that that brought such healing and change. And then my friend Irene said, and I'm starting a Celebrate Recovery group for a group of pastors, and I would love for you to be in recovery with me. And so I just have this group of women every Wednesday night that we get together. And we realize that we're not crazy. We're still standing on the rock. We're walking through life together. They're my discipleship people. We have a text message thread. It's called We Do the Work, because we remember that we have to do the work in our own hearts to stay tender and soft, because at the end of my life, I'm not going to stand before all the people that have had opinions about how I led. I'm going to stand before the living God and give account to whether I was obedient to him or obedient to the naysayers and the Sanballats and Tobias who were telling me how to build or not build. And so, but it literally got me to a place where I'm like, am I crazy? Am I losing my mind? Like, the need to steward, I love what you said, steward our perspective and stand on the rock and remember who Christ is, has been one of the biggest fights of, I think, all of our lives. And so, yeah, it's been wild. But I'll say I'm in a healthier place right now. I am full-blown in recovery with my crew and walking with Jesus in the most powerful way. And it's super difficult, too. But it's really helping me, body, soul, and spirit. So that's where I'm at.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, it's one thing to be in the pastorate. It's another thing to be in the pastorate in New York. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean,
yes.
your city was on national news every day and continues to be. So this is talk about being, you know, really in the thick of things, in the epicenter of crisis and chaos. And you're still standing and you love Jesus. And,
I mean, do.
Come on. So
him.
Powerful. Yay. Well, let's talk about, we just have a few minutes left, but the call to forgive, because we have to be good forgivers to, you know, in a day when the love of most grows cold, you know, when that love decreases, lawlessness increases, which we see, which then gives high opportunity for offense and a high need for forgiveness. And you said, it's up to me to forgive. No one can make me do it, and I may not feel like doing it, but it is an act of my free will. Forgiveness does not mean agreement with another sin or behavior. Quite the opposite. It's a sign of our tender heart towards God, even when someone owes us a debt that they'll never, ever be able to repay. Say more if you would.
Oh, my gosh. Susie, why did you have to read that back to me? No. I did write that, didn't I?
You did.
I did. No, I think that's also been the biggest fight, because, like, what is the biggest fight we all have right now is to keep our hearts tender. And the way we have to do that is to continually forgive 70 times 7, right? And I think for me, one of the biggest things in my pride, when my pride is well and truly intact, I can tell because I want somebody else to go first and forgive me and say they're sorry. And the Lord's like, I'm sorry. You have a Savior who literally died on the cross and said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Yet I want to cry out, forgive them, Father. They totally know what they're doing. And, you know, I'm like, sorry. Wow, I'm so petty and so prideful. And so I think the beauty of choosing to go first and humble ourselves actually creates a pathway for others to do it too. Or maybe they won't. But I write a whole chapter on that, on going first and going first to give grace to other people, going first to forgive other people, even when we wish someone else would mentor us, lead us, go first, forgive, give us grace. What that's about is making life all about ourselves instead of laying down our lives, which honestly, if we're truly following Christ, what does he tell us to do on a daily basis? To pick up our cross and follow him. And we follow him so that we can walk in his resurrection life, not our idea of what it is. And so I think even perspective over these last couple of years, I mean, it has fully nailed any of my pride to the cross if I will allow it to be put there. And so it's a hard work, but it is a worthy
work
to choose to forgive. It's a good work. Yeah. Mm.
Annie, what do you know now about the Lord that you didn't know even 5 years ago?
Oh my gosh. I would say that even what I would consider failure, that he is so faithful and that he doesn't measure my success based on the world standards, but in obedience to the assignment in front of me. And I think, again, these last 2 years, if my pride was intact, I would say that I would base that upon church attendance or what people said about me in my church. And I'm like, that's so disgusting that was my view of success. And now it's like the Lord just keeps saying to me, Andy, look me in the eyes and understand that your obedience to the assignment that I give you, no matter if the world thinks it's success or not, that is success. And I would say, honestly, over the last 5 years, mainly over the last two, I have learned that. And that's something that I know about him, is that my value is not based on what the world says success is or not.
You know, Andy and I had an event that we were speaking at together, but of course I had to back out because of COVID. And then you and I were also serving together this fall at a different conference, and that's where you and I were talking backstage. And I'd asked you if you'd come on a regular basis. And so, friends, I just want you to know Andy's going to be joining us. You're going to hear more from her in the days ahead as we just seek God together and see what the Lord has to say. But we just honor the gift of God in you, Andy, and the work that you're doing, the good work of the heart, the work of the kingdom, to keep your heart a precious, tender place. We love you. Thank you so much for the time today.
I love you so much. Thank you for leading and loving us all so well.
Andy Andrew, everybody. Her book, again, is titled Friendship. It's Complicated. We'll leave the drawing open for a little bit longer. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. I pray you found some encouragement here today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.